Good evening, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. This is Bill Bauman speaking. And Bill Bauman being here, and Bill Bauman just embracing you, and Bill Bauman doing all sorts of other things just to welcome you. And I really mean welcome. Welcome to this very, very sacred time. It's our once-a-month time just to come together. Anybody who feels moved or inspired to be a part of this, just to come together and bathe. Just take a big bath in divine love, in the blessings of grace, in the generosity of infinity, in our heart's deepest inspiration, in our soul's truth, in any kind of blessing that's here. And as you know, that's not just my intention, that's the intention of you and me and every one of us that comes here. There's usually somewhere over 100 of us. And I especially this evening on this Thursday in August just welcome you here. And please feel held. Please feel embraced. Please feel welcomed. Please feel, especially if you've not been here with us before, just feel an intimate part of this special, sacred, beautiful, love-filled gathering. I frankly have gotten to be so, touched, just so thrilled, so rejoicing internally every time this time of the month comes up, because this has gotten to be just one of my favorite hours of the entire month. It's just it's sort of like just the best of everything coming together. You know that poem by Rumi that out beyond notions of right and wrong, there's a field, I'll meet you there. Well, I feel like this is the field. This is the field that we all just are moved by. Something in us just moves us together, really not primarily for some teaching, not primarily for some process, but just to receive. Just to sit in the deepest truth and love and blessing of everything. So welcome, just welcome enormously and immensely. And I have, you know, I usually start this with a couple of absurd announcements. Well, I found one today. I just thought you would love it. Today, on this day, it just happens to be the 72nd wedding anniversary of Billy Graham and his spouse. 72 years. I didn't even know anybody ever in the history of the world lived 72 years, let alone was married 72 years. So really congratulations to the two of them. What an amazing life together for 72 years. Then I have news of two birthdays. Yes, I do, two birthdays. One, you'll never guess it, Alfred Hitchcock was born on this day in 1899. Boy, he's really old. No, he's not around anymore. But the other one is somebody that I know, and most of you don't. Her age today is 18, and her name is Maria. And she is listening to this call as she heads off to start her college career. And Maria, on behalf of all of us, we wish you a magnificent birthday and a wonderful first day of what I know will be a sensational, sensational life. Wow. So, last announcement. You ready for it? If you are on the web at this point, a number of you are sitting on your phones. Well, maybe you're not sitting on your phones. Maybe you have your phone next to your ear. What do I know about it? But and a number of you are on the web. For those of you who are on the web, you have some beautiful photos in front of you, and those photos are selected every month by Donna, my precious spouse, with whom I've not been married for 72 years, but somewhere up there. I usually invite Donna to say hi to us or say something to us, and she would love to do that, except that her poor little throat is not feeling so well. She's just recovering from a kind of a throat theme that's been there for several days now. So with her apologies, you get me instead of her. Lucky you. Whee! Anyway, Donna sends her love, wraps her arms around you, and, you know, when you get me, you get her, and vice versa. And so we are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What I love to do, again, if you, this is the first time you're here, I'll share it with you. What I love to do is right up front, give us all like a whole 10 seconds or so we can say hi to each other. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click a little button. And if you're on the phone, either now or if you're listening to this later, you know, feel free to say hi when we do this. And if you're on the web, feel free to say hi, even though we can't auditorily hear your voice. But this is our hi, is our way of connecting as a, in a sense, a family for this hour, and just supporting each other. So I'm ready. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hello, friends.
Hello. Oh, wow. Thank you. Whew. That was wonderful. So, hey, guess what? You got, if you're on my mailing list, that is, you received an email from me some days ago that was really funny. It was like 10 modern day commandments for anybody who's interested in total freedom. And in that little email, I said I'd be spending tonight talking about that. So that's what we're here for. And this is really strange because so many people, I just can't tell you how often it happens, will say to me in the context of my helping them, whether in a group or individually, they'll say, what can I do? What can I do to help along what we're doing? What can I do to make this go faster? What can I do to support myself? And so the big word there, of course, is do. What can I do? And if you know me at all, you know that I probably more than half the time I sidestep the question. I don't answer it. Of course, I do it so smoothly you don't even notice, but which is not true. But I'm the grace guy. I'm the divine intervention guy. I'm the miracle of life kind of a person who basically says, yeah, we can do a whole bunch, but let's, you know, we've all done so much. Let's just kind of open up to the blessings. Just open up to receiving whatever kind of support from every realm of creation, from the light, from the divine, from our soul, from each other. And let's just drink that in. So it's fascinating that a number of days ago now, I was sitting there minding my own business, mind you, when this inspiration came that really didn't start off as a Ten Commandment thing. It started off as something like, quote, if, what was that? Like, if I only did this, unquote. And what that means is, gee, if I, let's take something like don't judge. If I only didn't judge, in other words, if I didn't do any other practice, if I had no other focus, if I didn't meditate, if I didn't anything, and all I did in life was just not judge, just taking that, and then we could take any other focus. But if I just took one focus, and of course I'm delineating 3 or 10 focuses here in these Ten Commandments that I'll get to, but if I just did that one thing, wow, what would the difference be? What difference would that make? What would be the impact or the effect? What would happen with that? And just right off the bat, I want to say what I've noticed is with a number of people, lots of people, is, wow, if we just did that one something we felt called to, like, for example, I'm just going to pick that one, if I just decided that I would not judge, wouldn't judge people, wouldn't judge circumstances, wouldn't judge events, wouldn't judge conditions, wouldn't judge anything that happened to me, wouldn't judge myself. Wow, first of all, just drink that in, like, well, there's a task. And, of course, that we could say, wow, that's a lifelong task. So if I spent my whole life doing nothing but that, what would happen? What would that do? My sense is, and, of course, each of us would answer it a different way, but my sense is, what it would do is it would open us, open each of us, to something amazing. So if we created a neutral space around, in this instance, not judging, what would fill that neutral space? And I feel like what would fill it is some divine response, some infinite gift or blessing, something that in the place of those judgments, or in the place of whatever it is that we're letting go of, some facet of the bigger self just shows up. And so it's kind of miraculous. So there are like two sides to the coin, if you will. One is what we do or don't do humanly to help ourselves, like the way people ask me that question. And then two, on the other side of that coin, when we do that, we kind of let go and some bigger magic happens. So I'm usually more the bigger magic guy. Excuse me. But what came to me here is, well, let's hang out a little bit on the side of the, gee, what can we do? And so the quote, if I just did this one thing, unquote, approach that I started with, what that did is that morphed into what quickly became, what did I call them, the 10 modern-day commandments for full personal freedom, or something like that. So I want to write off the bat, apologize for the word commandment. It's a word that most of us are fairly allergic to. If you have noticed that somebody tells you what to do, I don't know, it just doesn't digest well or something like that. You get a stomach ache. I break out in hives. Other people have different reactions. But so with apologies for that, the reason I use the word, besides the fact that it came to me in an inspired way, is I think in contrast to, as a takeoff on those Ten Commandments from Moses' time. And those Ten Commandments, those other ones, I think they served, well, and they still serve, as a source of inspiring values, as kind of like moral guidelines. So if you want to be good and if you want to be in God's good graces and all of that, here's what you do and here's what you don't do. Well, the tone of these commandments is very different. The tone here is not about morality or moral value judgments. It's not about being good versus bad or pleasing versus unpleasing. This is about freedom. And let's face it, all of us, each in our own way, all of us feel this deep, deep call to freedom. And so what I want to do is invite all of us just in this moment and throughout this hour just to sit in the middle of that call to freedom and just open to what these words, these descriptions about these 10 approaches are, and just let them swirl around in the underbelly of our being. Let them stir in our soul and let them speak through our heart to us in a way that's inspirational, not in a way that's a do and a don't, even though that's some of the language, but in a way that's, what's the invitation? What's the inspiration? What's the welcoming, embracing, Bill, take this approach, and then see how infinity meets you right at the end of that or in the middle of that. So join me there, if you will. And again, we've got two approaches here. One is, gee, if you did nothing else but this one, and there are 10 of them, and the other is, these are doings. And we focus on the doings to a degree, but at some point we just open up to, and through this whole time we open up to the grace, we open to the miracle, we open to the blessing, we open to the gift that's there. So are you ready? I'm ready. What I feel like doing is talking, of course. What else do I do? I don't know how to do anything else. All I do is talk. But I want to talk about each of these 10. And, if you got that list for me in the email, you don't need to have it in front of you. In fact, what I want to invite you to do again is just let the words be the stirring of your own heart. Let your heart be speaking to you even more than your mind while I'm talking. So the first of these 10 modern-day commandments, or these 10 modern-day approaches for anyone who feels like he or she is on this path to not just freedom, but really full freedom. So if that's our calling, then first, don't judge. And by the way, they're like 4 don'ts, 4 do's, and then the last two are what I call above alls. So the first 4 don't—they have a don't in front of them. So don't judge. Just let that sit for a minute. Don't judge. We can maybe stop allowing ourselves to judge people or circumstances or events. we can maybe take any thought we have that's negative about or disapproving of maybe humanity or the world or good and evil or injustice or God even or anything. And we can either sidestep that thought, or we can just, even if you want to be more proactive, we can train our minds to be neutral, neutral in its value judgments. They're always value judgments, and right in the middle between positive and negative, or maybe as those two come together right in the middle, there's this space where everything just is. It's neither good nor bad, neither right nor wrong. It just is. And so just picture yourself right here, just being, and especially maybe picture the things that really irritate you or the things that bother you or the things that you find yourself judgmental about. You know, maybe think about the political party that you're not a big fan of, or think about those facets of world events, world hunger or war, or all the injustices, and notice what kind of thoughts usually float through your mind in relation to those, or whatever it may be that you might have a negative judgment about, and just kind of let it float. Let it float to the middle of that value spectrum. Let it float either over into the positive, but maybe here, I'm just inviting, let it float to the middle. Let it float to neutral. And just kind of feel the blessing that happens to your mind when you're in neutral. And so, again, it's like, gee, there is something I can do. I can take charge of the ways I set myself up for pain because I judge by not judging. And then I can sit in the space that's created there, and I can just watch myself, like right now, be filled with enormous, beautiful, special blessings. Just because in neutral, anything can happen. And it does. And so that something just might be happening right here, right now. So that's that first commandment, if you will. And while you're sitting there, I'm going to move on to the second one, which is kind of similar, and of course, as in everything, there's an overlap here. And this one's still a don't word, but please don't go with the commanding quality of it. And this one says, don't blame. The first one was don't judge. The others don't blame. And to spell that out a little bit, how often we blame, well, ourselves, or we blame other people, or we blame life circumstances. We criticize, or we find fault, or I don't know, we condemn something, we belittle it, we badmouth it, or we badmouth ourselves. Like, I talk to a lot of people who, yes, they get really mad at and they blame other people and it's their fault, but internally almost always they're blaming themselves, and we all do that. We usually don't blame others unless in some ways we're subconsciously at least blaming ourselves. So we have this, it's kind of built into the kind of the human shtick, if you will. It's like blame lives pretty much everywhere. You know, we turn on the television or read the newspaper, somebody's blaming somebody for something. And so we learn it, and it just becomes a natural thing. But wow, look at it this way. Here you are, called to full freedom. Freedom from that, what do I want to call it, that habit, that learned behavior of condemning, blaming, criticizing others, self. And picture it this way. What if you didn't blame? What if you didn't criticize? What if you didn't condemn? What if you didn't find fault with anything? Again, what if all those kinds of thoughts just disappeared? Or what if in your own way you here's maybe an approach, when you're blaming others, maybe just shift gears from your mind to your heart, and maybe go to your heart, your all loving heart, and ask your heart to take over the focus. So your mind, through your mind, you're focusing on something, and you're really bothered by what it is, you're judging it, and then you're blaming it. And what if you went to your heart and you said, heart, how do you see this? Heart, what's your sense? And of course, what your heart's going to do is your heart's going to say, no, I'm not blaming anything. There's no perpetrator. There's no victim here. I'm not a victim. I'm just loving it. I'm just loving it. So with judging, we went to the middle of the spectrum and we found neutrality. With blame, we're going to our heart and we're finding love. And then again, if we just hang out in that heart and do it till the blame's gone, then again, it's like we shift. Something clicks and we shift to the other side of that coin, and then we're ready to receive again, ready to receive grace, ready to receive blessing, ready to receive some kind of gift that is always on the other side of something that we're, let's say, wrapped up in. So feel free to join me now on the third one. Third one, still a don't. It's a fascinating one. It says, don't complain. Don't complain. And let me pick up my little ten commandment thing here and see what I described it as. After don't complain, I wrote, stop whining, moaning, groaning, protesting, or feeling or acting like a victim. Decide to stop feeling sorry for yourself or complaining to others about your latest misery or trying to get sympathy from others. You know, I am just famous for joking about this kind of thing. My best way of describing myself is that I thrive on self-pity. I love to feel sorry for myself. And the reason I don't complain so much to others is that you really can't count on others to consistently feel sorry for you. Do you ever notice that? Friends, they get tired of it after a while, and then I have to forgive them for that fault on their part. But I can always complain to myself because I will consistently feel sorry for myself. So that's my kind of joke, and it's really kind of cute. The only problem is nobody tends to believe me. But anyway, it feels good to say it. So this one says, don't complain. Stop whining, moaning, groaning. And I've had a lot of experience with that in my life because I used to do a lot of that. And I, just in terms of what the I, the self, the human Billy can do, years and years back, I just made a decision, and I've made the decision over a number of times, that complaining for me is a waste of time. All it does is it makes me feel worse. Every now and then I find somebody who actually feels better when they can get it out, you know, whine, groan, feel sorry for yourself, complain to others. But I think for 95% of us, it just makes us feel worse. And so it's sort of our way of torturing ourselves. So this one says, don't complain, stop whining. And please know that there's not a condemning or judgmental tone with that when I say it. So what might you want to do with not judging? You went to the neutral space in the middle. With not blaming, you went to your heart. I don't know what you might want to do. You might want to go to a place of power within yourself, wherever that is. For some of us, that's sort of a gut-level power. For others, it's the power of our soul. But go to a place of power and maybe take charge. Take charge of any ways you feel like a victim, any ways that you have things in your life that you feel like you should or want to complain about. And use your power to say, okay, Bill, of course I'm talking to myself here, okay, Bill, we're not going to complain anymore. We're going to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, and we're going to put that into its neutral zone. And then, again, as soon as we do that, it's like we create a space. We create a space for the universe. We create a space for the divine. We create a space for grace and for infinity and for the mystery of life, if you will, just to step into that space. And what we start noticing in the place of what we were whining about is we start noticing, oh, my God, look at this. Look at what's in my life. Look at the blessings, for example. So number four, the last of the don'ts, if you will, is don't believe your beliefs. I thought that was really cute when I wrote it down. All of these, by the way, just came to me from a place of inspiration. Don't believe your beliefs. So let me say that another way. Gee, if you feel, as every one of us does, if you feel inspired, called, if you feel like it's your nature to be completely free, to not be like the regular kind of human being that's internally imprisoned or stuck in old habits or old smaller spaces or pain or whatever, and you ask that same question, what can I do? Well, you can not believe your beliefs. And really, if we look at it, our beliefs, there are personal myths, there are individual stories, there are kind of what I like to call them our best guess at what we feel might be the truth. But you know, the truth is always way bigger than any belief we've got. So I found for myself, anyway, just to share myself here, that any belief I have is infinitesimally small compared to the real truth of what's going on. So I'm not going to tell the whole story here by any means, but a number of you have heard me tell the story of many years ago. I felt inspired to, and the internal words were, what were those words? To let go of everything I ever learned, which is another way of saying stop believing my beliefs. And the job, I did this every day. The job took 3 years for me, just to, because I kept noticing I'd let go of this belief, I'd let go of that attitude, I'd let go of that assumption, I'd let go of that theory, I'd let go of that value, I'd let go of that principle. And I could go on and on and on with all the words, that ideology, that theology, that philosophy, that psychology, anything that I might have a sort of a pet construct of, I just let go of it, let go of it, let go of it. And I found that as my mind started getting drained, like a swimming pool, like you let the water out of the bottom, as the water level kept going down and down and down and down and down and down and down, there were an amazing number of beliefs that I had. I could not believe, get the play on words, how many beliefs I had. Again, beliefs, assumptions, everything else. And so every time one came up, I just, again, I let it go. I dismissed it. And again, it took me about 3 years to empty that mind. And then just for me, I found something remarkable happened. You know, just like I'm saying with each one of these, when we empty out, something else comes to fill the space. So for me, when my mind finally got empty enough, what filled the space was energy. Energy. So instead of my mind being filled with constructs, mental constructs, thought constructs primarily, it was filled with energy, and specifically heart energy. My mind started filling with love. And so we've got the two sides of the coin. Could my mind just have been filled with love right off the bat? Sure, theoretically, yes. And yet the way it was inspired in me is, Bill, first of all, do this. Do this. Take charge of letting go of all the thought constructs in your mind. Then I, infinity, divinity, then I'll just connect your mind to your heart. I'll fill your mind with your heart's love, and every thought from then on that appears magically in that mind will have the flavor of that heart, will have the flavor of love. And so then from there, if I go back to the first four, then with my heart, with my mind feeling in love, then it's easy not to judge, it's easy not to blame, it's easy not to complain. And the fourth one, it's easy just to look at every belief that's there, and I can enjoy it, I can use it for whatever I do with it, but it's easy not to get attached. It's easy to be neutral about it. It's easy not to claim it as, this is the truth, but just to claim it as, oh, here's a thought that's maybe helpful in the moment, and note the inner peace that can be there. So how are you doing? How are you doing right now? We just finished the first four, which are all in the don't category. What's happening in you? What's happening with you? What's happening just in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your body? How are not just these words speaking to you, but how in this inspiration, this two side of the coin inspiration, how is grace speaking to you? How is grace taking what you've, for example, what you've already done in not judging, not blaming, not complaining, not believing your beliefs, and filling the space just right now in this precious hour, just dedicated to the gift, just the gift. This is a time set aside from all the rest of our life, from the doings and the activities and the busyness, etc., where we just sit in the truth of us. And so my words are some minor expression of that truth that your own heart and soul can take and speak to you from within. I wonder how they're speaking to you right now. Just sit with that. Let's all sit with that as we support each other, actually, as well as ourselves in this gift, just this gift of these first four that hopefully have turned don'ts into opportunities, that hopefully have turned what usually would be a kind of a critical tone into the possibility of magic and mystery and wonder and grace and expansion and deepening and freedom, because all of these are all about freedom. And ideally, no commandment, no guideline, no principle, no belief, no approach, no practice is ever, ever, ever meant to bind us or to tie us up in knots or to make us obligated to anything. If we're doing any of that through any sense of obligation, then we might want to take another look at it, because the obligation may be something that it's time to let go of. And we could do a 4.5 commandment to let go of all sense of obligation. So let's show up to the second group of four, to the ones that are about do instead of don't. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm just going to take a quick drink. The fifth one is show up. Show up. Be 100% present to whatever appears in your life. And you notice that sometimes some things appear, something that's hurtful, something that's scary, something that's uncomfortable. And for most of us, maybe not for you, but for most of us, part of us goes into hiding. Part of us takes a step back. Part of us goes into a little bit of denial, or what I find with most of us, we numb. We numb out a little bit. Part of us goes numb so that, as a self-protection, we hopefully won't feel the pain of whatever that is. And so we often avoid or withdraw from, oh, let's say, any circumstance, any person, and we don't face it, or we don't face them completely. So what would happen if you would, in place of that, call yourself to be really here, to show up, to be fully engaged, to stay involved? Just think about that. Picture that, if you will. And so I put down the words, show up. And I think maybe those two words, show up, came to me because in my life, I really have discovered, this has been a big one for me in my path, and I found that all sorts of, just like for every one of us, all sorts of uncomfortable things came. In fact, for many years, I felt like I specialized in not just discomfort, but pain. And I noticed the curious thing in me that every time I hid, every time I recoiled, every time I went into denial, every time I went into shock, every time I went into numbness, in order to try to protect myself, it hurt more. It actually hurt more. And then I started experimenting with this showing up thing, and I and I started almost demanding of myself that nothing in me run away, that everything in me show up, all my feelings, all my heart, my soul, my body, my energy field, my vulnerabilities, my everything, my mind, that everything just fully show up to what that was. And I noticed, again, another really curious thing, every time I showed up, the pain was less. And then, experimenting with it even more, when I showed up fully, 100%, the pain, the suffering, either went fully away or went almost fully away. It was the darndest thing. And I feel like there's a generalization there for at least most of us. So take a look here for just a minute at what ways you might recoil, what ways you don't show up, what ways out of a totally understandable orientation to protecting yourself, saving yourself, trying to save yourself from pain, that you would not show up. Understandable as that is, notice how what I describe for myself is true for you as well. I feel like it probably is, and if it's not, I apologize for assuming. So how about maybe all of us agreeing? Let's show up. Let's never allow ourselves to feel so victimized by something, so afraid of someone, so knee-jerk reactive to anything that we hide. Because when we're hiding from that, we're hiding from ourselves. And we're hiding from our own power, and we're hiding from our own love, and we're hiding from our own strength. We're hiding from the magnificent, full, wondrous self that we are. And so by that act of courage that says, I'm showing up, I'm here, I'm being fully present. Wow. We're also embracing every part of us, and we're bringing every part of us there. And then it has a chance of working. And then again, if I go back to the other side of the coin now, I show up 100%, and then, if I may use the word God or Goddess, then God shows up. Divine Mother shows up. Infinite grace shows up, a special power shows up, a gift of power shows up that, because I've dared to be fully present, is there for me to work with, use, be with, express, experience, and feel as a deep inner resource for whatever I'm dealing with. It's amazing. It's sort of like our knee-jerk protective reactions almost always only create more pain. So, wow, commandment number 5, and this one, the word commandment starts to feel a little better. Show up 100%. Come with me now to the next one, number 6. How you doing here, by the way? Doing okay? Okay. Wow. Thanks. By the way, I asked that question because I'm feeling like I've got my arm around your shoulder. I've got my two arms around your neck. Note, I didn't say my two hands on your neck. I said my two arms around your neck. And I feel like I'm just in total support of each and every one of us here. So the next one says, 3 words, accept every circumstance. It's sort of the next step from showing up, in a sense. Accept and embrace every circumstance, everything that happens in your life. So whatever happens, whatever appears in your life, no matter how scary, no matter how uncomfortable, here's it. Say yes to it. So yes, show up, and then say yes. Maybe take a step toward it. Embrace its invitations. Embrace its meanings. Open to its challenges. Not only don't push it away, don't resist it. That's the showing up part. But the next step, welcome it. Welcome it into your heart, and that's the next step. That's not always easy, especially when we first start trying it. It's like accepting it, welcoming it. For me, what I've done a lot is take anything that's there and just energetically, almost with my invisible hands and arms, just reach out, grab it, and bring it into my heart. Bring it into my soul. Bring it into my all-knowing depth. Bring it into, sometimes into my body. When my body just maybe just innately knows what to do with it. And in that saying yes, in that welcoming, in that inviting it in, I'm taking the next step of courage. But again, I'm getting to that next place on the other side of the coin. Because when I do that, when I, little Billy Human, when little Billy Human does that, wow, I open up to Big Billy Human on, or Big Billy Infinite on the other side of the coin, or I open up to my higher self, or I open up again to the gifts and the miracles of infinity, and miracles happen right about that time, right about that point. And how wonderful it is. And all of a sudden we're starting to show up to how the human scene is meant to work, how it's designed to work, which is for us to be fully here. And let's face it, we really come to Earth. We take on a human form to be fully present, not to hide, not to stick our head in the sand. And so these cute little things in the form of a commandment remind us, they're reminders, be fully here and give yourself as fully as possible to this self, this life, this circumstance, this whatever, this person, and see what amazing things happen, which leads us to number 7. Accept responsibility for everything. Accept personal responsibility for everything. And this, in a sense, is the next step. And this one, I don't know, it seems even more scary to some of us. So, you know, the theory. The theory says, you're in charge, I'm in charge, each of us is in charge of our own universe, our own world, our own self. That's the theory, and how often we don't feel so in charge. So now that we're no longer judging, now that we're no longer blaming, now that we're no longer feeling sorry, now that we're showing up and accepting, ooh, can we be fully responsible for everything in our life? Wow, just let that sit there. Listen to how your heart, your soul, your truth is inviting you to that. Wow, to accept responsibility. So one way of saying that is, no matter what happens, I invited that into myself, into my life in this moment. So I've got an enemy that shows up. I've got somebody who hates me that enters my space. I've got a boss that can't stand me, or whatever it may be. Listen to this. I invited that. I opened myself to that. And I invited it because, scared as I may be, or disempowered as I may feel, there's a something in me, a resource in me, a strength in me, a love in me, a power in me, a self in me, that if I show up fully to that, if I embrace and welcome that into myself, and if I accept that I invited it, I'm in charge, I brought this to me because I knew that I have a chance for amazing growth if I interact with whatever that is. It is. It's an act of heroic freedom, and it is an act of embracing freedom. And again, just with that, what happens? I dare to accept responsibility. I dare not only not to blame somebody else and not to blame myself, because most of us are afraid of accepting responsibility because we think, oh, then I have to blame myself, be mad at myself. Absolutely not. So it's not about blame. It's about, ooh, I'm strong enough. I'm big enough. I'm knowing enough. I'm me enough to know what I'm doing. This is in my life because I brought it into my life. And if I take total charge of the responsibility for that, then, again, at the risk of repeating myself, the most amazing, amazing, amazing thing happens. Then whatever that strength in me is magnifies. Grace jumps in and puts an air pump to it and pumps it up. Then Grace says, I'm here to pump you up. I'm sorry, it was a sad thing to say, but I did it. Anyway, and life steps in to support us in being the big self that we just stepped into. And the number eight, the last of these amazing 10 deals, the last of the do's, is two words: experience gratitude. Experience gratitude. So just kind of take a breath right where you are right now. Notice the journey we've been on. Notice what's happening with you as we've taken it step by step by step. And notice the blessings that have occurred. And maybe the biggest blessing so far of all is that we've created enough neutral space, empty space, open space, that all of a sudden we can start noticing, whoa, look at my life. So on the heels of maybe for a lot of our lives having ignored the multiple blessings in our lives, we start seeing them, noticing them. We take note of the ways that, by golly, look at that. Life and nature is supporting me. Other people are loving me. Grace is embracing me. And wow, look at that. I'm feeling gratitude for them. Remember Oprah, when Oprah had her daytime show and she really focused on gratitude, and she said, and so many of the people that she did this with said, I'm amazed. As soon as I started writing down five things to be grateful to each day, all of a sudden, and the first day it was hard to find five, but the next day they came more easily. Then 5 days from then, there were 15 things that showed up, and after that, 30 things showed up. We start noticing what we, if we're judging, blaming, complaining, etc., if we're hiding, that we just don't notice. Our lives, literally, in this moment, on this very day, are filled with gazillions of blessings, of support, that we just, perhaps, have not noticed. And so, wow, here's the last of the do's. Experience that gratitude. Feel immense gratitude for everything in your life that fills you with joy. And so, not time for another drink, sorry. Here we are to the last two, the two above alls. How you doing? At least in terms of how I'm with you, and I'm especially with you, with the heart of each of us this evening. I'm feeling our heart just taking advantage of this whole approach and inviting each of us to something really special here. So the last two, the above all, in other words, either on top of all of those eight, or even if you didn't do any of those eight, this to me, number nine, is the amazing one. Above all, be totally loving, unconditionally loving, completely loving. Open your heart, open it fully, completely, open it fearlessly, open it radically. Invite love, love with a capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E, to take over your life. Invite love to heal any woundedness. Invite love to bring miracles to you. Let love become the guiding light, the everything of your life. No matter what, no matter what it is, make it about love. Go for love. Love is, after all, it's who we are. Love created this whole human dimension, if you will, and each of us is created in love, created as love. So love is who we are, what we are, how we are, and love just is made to pulse through every corpuscle of our blood system, every energy of our chakra system, every thought of our mind. So above all, if nothing else, just make every minute about loving, loving, loving. And love trumps everything. So if we wanted, we could even just skip all the other eight, unless we felt drawn to them, inspired to them, and we could say, wow, okay, I'm going to take my love nature, and I'm going for it. Just going for it. There's lots of songs that basically say, go for love. Love is what you are. Love is who you are. And each of us has done that enough to know the truth of those words, the truth of those songs, and to know that, wow, if I did nothing else but just be in love every minute, I would be completely and sensationally whole and free. And then number 10, above all, yes, above all, side by side with that love, be totally loyal to your own truth. Here's a truth. You and I are created perfect. That's a truth. That's the central truth of you and me. We're created wondrous. Goldilocks has nothing on us. We were created just right, quote unquote, just right. You look at yourself and you say, this one's just right. Every truth you need already lives within you. Every resource you need is in there just waiting to be unlocked and grabbed by you. So many of us look outside of ourselves for that truth. We look to beliefs and theories. We look to teachers and gurus, and we look to friends and mates. We look to anything, and that's totally valid as well. I'm not putting that down, but look in yourself and be loyal to that truth. You know, each of us knows deep down. We pretend that we don't know. We make believe we don't know. We claim ignorance, and we masquerade as dumb. But we're not. So often when somebody says, I ask somebody a question, they say, I don't know. I do, of course, that obnoxious thing. If you did know, what would you say? but beyond that, sometimes I say, you know, I think you really do. Do yourself the favor of knowing what you know. Be courageous enough to trust what you intuitively sense. Go with this amazing self that you are. And when you do that, and this is, of course, the last of the doings, then this amazing self that you are steps up. This amazing self that was just waiting to be recognized steps up and says, okay, now let me take over the control panel. Now let me and you together lead this amazing life. So in conclusion, and you just stay with where you are and ignore these words if you'd like. In conclusion, we're amazing. We're just created amazing. I just, sometimes I close my eyes, I look at you, all of you, but you individually. You, the self that, yep, that's the, you're the one I'm talking to. And I'm in awe, just in awe. And I think, how could anyone be more beautiful, more precious, more sensational? And I think the answer is it can't be. You're just right. You're just perfect. You've got all the love. You've got all the power. You've got all the light. You've got all the ingredients that you could ever, ever, ever need, including the deepest truth of you. And it's all right there. And so back to the spirit of these, gee, if I just did this one thing, or to the spirit of these, what I've kind of funnily called commandments. Each of these, any of these, maybe all of these, have your name on it in this sense, that if you take any way you're feeling small, feeling cut off as a human being, feeling little, separate, wounded, and let that you take some of these steps, the big you shows up. You let the human you that feels separated from infinity take some of these steps, infinity shows up. It's like meeting you not just halfway, but just in gratitude for the fact that you care. You care enough about you, and you care enough about your freedom to gather the courage to take any of these steps, and the rest of you, the rest of the amazing, miraculous self that you are, shows up and says, all right, now we're on board. Let's do this. Let's do this life. Let's take it all the way to complete personal freedom and joy and happiness and fullness and wholeness and celebration. Let's do that. Let's do that now, us. And let's do it individually. Let's do it together. thank you so really, really, really much. Wow. I am going to open this up just ever so briefly, if you will, for anybody to say anything that you'd like to say. And in that, let's see, I'm trying to pull myself back to this zone here. For any of you on the phone, if you just, what do? You press star 2, and that tells me you have something you'd like to say. And if any of you are on the web, my goodness, we've got a couple who are here on the web. This is just a beautiful message from Berenice. Thank you for this generous gift every month. I'm always so looking forward to meet and bathe in the blessings of these calls. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I am sending blessings to the whole group. So she's thanking all of us and each of us. And then from beautiful Agnes in Warsaw, it's very late in Warsaw. Before I go to bed, I feel like sharing some words with you. And then I'm just reading through this because it's long. And she's sharing a shift that occurred to her yesterday, and it goes on and on. And thank you, thank you, and thank not just me, but all of us. So in that, I'm going to shift back to thank you so much, Agnes. That was absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to call on two people whose names here say Doug and Marjolaine, and they've got their hand up. Hello there. Hello, Doug. Hello, Marjolaine. Well, maybe not. Okay. I've got you unmuted in case you want to say anything. I guess not. Okay. Last chance going once, going twice. Ah, too bad. Okay. There. And then another call from I think it was area code 703. I pushed the wrong button and I cut you off. Would you please just push star 2 again? How could I do that? Anyway, it doesn't seem to be coming on again. I'm so sorry about that. Nope, I guess not. Anyway, it is getting, I'm so sorry. Anyway, it's getting close to our time to end. I don't know how that happened. I know it happened because I just got vociferous all of a sudden. And I want to thank you, just to take a minute. First of all, concluding kind of remarks, our next time together is next month, obviously, the second Thursday, September 10th. It's actually exactly 1 week before our September workshop on freedom here in Las Vegas. But let me end, if I may, by just thanking you. Thanking you for being you. You know, I show up here every month and with some words that feel inspired. But way, way, way beyond these words, and as you could tell from this evening, in and through a lot of the words that are here, what happens is something magical. And I feel deeply blessed to be able to hang out with such amazing, magical people. And so let us just embrace together this next month with magic, and on top of everything that these commandments or approaches are about, let us just welcome the blessings, welcome the grace, and then especially for that eighth one, just experience the gratitude of everything that is a blessing in our life. Thank you so much. It is an absolute joy to be with you, and I wish you a magnificent rest of August and first part of September. I'll look forward to hanging out together again later. In a month, and I am ready. I have clicked the button, and we can all say goodbye now. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
August.
Oh, and thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful month. Bye-bye.